We're going to talk about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and then we're going to talk about three resurrections that I believe we either have, will, or need to experience in our lives. But none of these three resurrections would be possible if it were not for this first resurrection. So let's stand to our feet and let's read out of Matthew chapter 28. If you'll read silently, follow along silently as I read aloud. Matthew chapter 28, verse number 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and become as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, or the women, fear not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful to be able to gather together for this Easter Sunday. And Lord, we want very much to feel the presence of the living Savior amongst us today. We know that you're here, dear Jesus, because you promise where two or three are gathered together in your name, there you would be in the midst. So right here, although, Lord, our physical, our temporal eyes are withheld from seeing the supernatural, if for just a moment we were allowed to see what only angels can see, what only God can see, I believe right in the midst of us today is the resurrected Savior. And Lord, we'd sure like to feel your presence today and know that you're here. We'd like to hear from you, and we would like for you to speak to us in a real way. So we ask for your blessings upon the service this morning. Lord, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And you may be seen. And I mentioned already, but we have on our sign out there, Hallelujah, Christ arose. It's Easter Sunday, and we take this Sunday and talk about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. All of our Sunday school classes, even the one that was assembled out in the gym during Sunday school, taught on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's a great, great story and an intricate part of the gospel. I talked to the third and fourth graders this morning, and I told them this. The word gospel means good news. And there's three distinct parts of the gospel. Jesus Christ died for our sins. Jesus Christ was buried. And Jesus Christ rose again. That's the gospel. That's the good news. You know, the first one is good news. At first, we may not feel as if it's very good news, because when we get the news of someone dying, usually that's bad news or sad news, not good news. But the good news is that when Jesus died, the Bible says he died for our sins. That makes it good news for us. You know, the second part of the gospel, he was buried. I'd like to be able to find some positive thing to say about that, but the honest truth is, without the third part of the gospel, the second's not much good news. He was buried. Well, what's good about that? He stayed in the tomb for 3 days and three nights. What's good about that? Well, what makes that good is that he arose from the dead. And so the gospel has to include all three of the elements. Jesus died for our sins, according to the gospel, was buried, and then rose again. Jesus rose again. Jesus rose again. Now, he did that for you, and he did that for me. He wants us to live with resurrection power. He wants us to live with resurrection power. He did it for us. I want to illustrate something for you today and teach you something, because if I'm going to name the sermon today, I'd like to name it this: have you experienced the resurrections? And I say that plural. Have you experienced the resurrections? You say, Brother Jerry, what you read in this story, I haven't experienced anything like that. You understand, of course, those of you that are saved, that we can't experience no resurrections if it weren't for the fact that Jesus resurrected. Amen. He empowers us to experience resurrections. So, Brother Jerry, you're confusing me a little bit. I want to talk to you about three resurrections that I hope that every one of us sometime in our lifetime experience, three resurrections that are very necessary. Now stay with me, because I'm going to clear up whatever confusion you may have. And Brother Derek, could you mind if I use you this morning just for a minute? You see, folks, every single one of us need to not only know about the resurrection and know that Jesus rose, but we need to experience some resurrections in our life, and those things would be impossible if it were not for Christ and His resurrection. So let me explain something to you and show you something. Let me have you stand right here. I want you to imagine for just a moment that this is Adam, and God has now created Adam. And I want to show you what happened in the Garden of Eden. When God created man, the Bible says that God said, "Let us make man in our image." Now, every once in a while, you'll run into someone who will try to tell you that there is no such thing as a triune God, or they deny the doctrine of the Trinity. And may I say, they are not only denying a doctrine, they are denying the very words of God. They are denying a principle that is irrefutable in the Scriptures. Because, see, God said, "Let us make man after our image." And God is a triune God. You say, "Well, Brother Jerry, I hear you say that, but I want you to explain to me how God can be one God and also be three gods. How can He be one yet three?" Let me say this. This little pea brain and your little pea brain can think for the rest of our lives and try to comprehend God. His ways are so far above our ways. His thoughts are so far above our thoughts. I don't have to understand the Trinity. I just need to believe the Trinity. And I know that the Bible says that there's one God and that He makes Himself available to us, or tends to reveal Himself to us in three very distinct persons. And I'm not going to spend my life trying to figure it out. I'm just going to believe it because the Bible teaches it. So when God created Adam, He created him to have three parts. He created him. Now I'm going to try to use tape, but I have a stapler if the tape doesn't work, all right? So He gave him a body. He created a body out of the dust of the earth. And then He gave him a spirit, and He breathed into his nostrils, and man became a living soul. So this is the creation that God made and created in His own image. He reached down with God hands. And by the way, you ought to throw your shoulders back a little bit, because you know what? We as human beings are the crowning glory of God's creation. We're the only thing that God created that He created in His image. You know, sometimes we want to use our humanity as an excuse for failure, or our humanity as an excuse to be less than what we ought to be. Have you ever heard, or maybe even said yourself, "Well, I'm only human"? I don't think we probably ought to say that, because the fact that we're human ought to challenge us to live up to our Creator's expectations. So God reached down with God hands and formed out of the dust of the earth a body. And then God took God lips and placed it on that man, that creation, and breathed into his nostrils a breath of life, and man became a living soul. And God gave also that man a spirit. And that spirit is the part of man that could communicate and fellowship with God. It was through the spirit of man that he was able to walk with God in the cool of the day and have fellowship with Him. Now I want to read you a little bit of what the Bible says in the creation story, and I won't ask you to turn to it. But in Genesis chapter 2, we read these words, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Now stay with me, because I'm talking about three resurrections, folks. It's great that Jesus arose. It's great that He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's great that He made a show of Satan openly. It's great that He defeated death. But you know what? The fact that Christ arose is supposed to spill over into my life. It's supposed to spill over into your life. And we're supposed to be touched and changed and transformed by the resurrection. Not just have the fact that He resurrected from the dead in our mind. We're supposed to have it anoint us from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet. It ought to change us and transform us from the inside out. Now stay with me. God created man in His image. He gave him a body, a soul, and He gave him a spirit. But He said, I'm going to put you in the garden, and you can dress it and keep it, and I'll give you responsibilities. And there's only one rule. There's one tree. You don't eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's the only rule. Don't eat of that fruit. And when God says, do not do something, and we go ahead and do it, the Bible says that's a sin. The Bible says that sin is a transgression of the law. When God sets up a law or a command or a rule and we break it, we have sinned against God. That's why society, which is controlled, by the way, by Satan, is working so hard to try to get out of our view the Ten Commandments. I mean, I'll tell you what, you've never seen such an orchestrated effort going on across America to keep our young people and our general population ignorant of the thou shalts and the thou shalt nots. You say, why is Satan so concerned about that? Because if we understand what the law says, then we'll realize we've fallen short of the law. We'll understand that we're sinners, and we might start figuring out that we need a Savior. Amen? Now, that's the rule. I've given you a body, I've given you a soul, I've given you a spirit, and here's the rule. Don't eat of the fruit of the knowledge of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because in the day that you eat of it, that very day, if you disobey, that very day that you eat of it, you will surely die. And that's what the Bible says, and that's what God said, and by the way, He meant it. So one day, you know the story, Eve was tempted to eat, and Adam ate also and partook of the fruit. And the Bible says in the very day that they ate of the fruit, He promised, He said they would die. Now, Adam and Eve, when they ate that fruit, their body did not keel over. They did not flop down on the ground and physically die. That's true, right? Those of you know the story. By the way, the soul of man is that eternal part of him that will live somewhere for all eternity. The soul of man will never die. It will exist somewhere for all eternity, either in heaven above or in hell beneath, but the soul of man will never die. So the soul did not die. What died in man was the spirit of man died. And so now, Adam, not only he still has a living body, he still has a living soul, but, watch this, his spirit is now dead. By the way, that's what every person looks like when they're born into this world. Because the Bible says this, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now watch this, stay with me. Brother Jerry, I thought I'd come to church this morning, hear about the resurrection. You're gonna. Man, I've got good news for you. Woo! Are you kidding me? Listen, I'm glad Jesus rose from the dead, but this man needs a resurrection. Say, Brother Jerry, does his body need a resurrection? Uh-uh. Does his soul need a resurrection? Nope, still alive, still good and well. His spirit needs to be resurrected. His spirit is dead. Now, let me read you something, because I think sometimes we don't really understand as Christians all that happened to us the day we got saved. And the more you understand about it, the more happy you are that you got saved. But you see, Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. And because every one of us has followed the path of Adam. And all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the Bible says this in 1 John chapter number 1 of 1 John. If any man saith not sin, he's a liar. And the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. I mean, listen, you walk around and try to act perfect and try to convince everybody else you're perfect, but all I got to do is talk to your wife. Amen. She'll tell me the truth. Amen. Hey, I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. We've all sinned. Because we've sinned, it's caused the death of something, and that death is the death of our spirit. But I've got good news for you. See, there was a man by the name of Nicodemus in John chapter 3 that came to see Jesus one night. And the Bible says this. Let me read the story. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. For that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the capital S, Spirit, or Holy Spirit, is small s, Spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. So Brother Jerry, what happens when somebody gets saved? Well, this guy, if he lives, breathes, works, plays, sleeps, and dies in this condition, the Bible says his soul will spend all eternity in hell. You see, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. You see, there's something inside of you that's dead. And by the way, you know it's dead. There's a blank spot in the heart of every single lost person. There's an emptiness in every single lost person. There's something that yearns to live again. There's something that was part of the original creation, but it's dead because of sin. And it yearns to live again. But the only thing that can bring your spirit back, small s, to life, the only thing to resurrect or reborn your spirit is the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And so when a person gets saved, now what does that mean, Brother Jerry? You talk about being saved. Well, when a person gets saved, their spirit is resurrected, if you'll let me say this. It's revived, it's reclaimed, it's regenerated. And all of a sudden, something that's dead in you is back to life again, and you're back the way God originally wanted to create you. But you see, the only way to get that spirit reborn is to be born again. See, this man has to admit some things and has to realize some things and embrace some things and believe some things if his spirit's going to be reborn. First of all, you have to accept the fact that you've sinned. You say, Brother Jerry, everybody knows that. You'd be shocked, the people I talk to that have trouble just saying two words, I mean, we've got a generation of people. I'm going to tell you, I'm concerned about our young people. I really am. We've got a society that refuses to repent about almost anything. Little kids, they do something wrong and you try to call them on it, get them to try to admit it. And boy, they'll blame everybody in the world and accuse everything and shift the blame and do everything, but they won't take responsibility for their actions and say, I was wrong. And you know what I'm talking about. You see, we got a whole society that almost, they just don't want to say, I'm a sinner. But you know what? Whether we say it or not, it's true. We're sinners. But you have to embrace that. You have to take responsibility for that. You got to say, that's me, and I've sinned. And by the way, I've got some good news. Jesus died for sinners. Jesus was buried again, and Jesus was buried, and he rose again. He did that so that we could be reborn. See, folks, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So when this man falls under the conviction of sin and realizes he's in trouble, and that there's something missing inside of him, and he understands the gospel that Jesus died for his sins, was buried, and rose again, and he kneels down and repents of his sin and prays and asks Jesus to save him and believes with all of his heart the gospel and takes full responsibility for what he's done and asks God to forgive it and to save him. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the minute that this man, by the way, when God saves you, he doesn't tear you up in the process, amen? The minute that this man gets saved, all of a sudden he's back to what God originally wanted us to be when he created us. I got good news for you. Look up here. Let me share this with you. There's nothing like being in a church service and watching people get saved. In the last several weeks, we've many, many times in the last several weeks in this service and our other services, Children's Church, preach the gospel, give the invitation, the light goes on in somebody's heart, conviction comes upon their life, they come forward knowing they need to be saved. They are explained the gospel of Jesus Christ. They bow their head with a repentant, humble heart, said, Lord Jesus, please forgive me, be merciful to me, a sinner. I do believe in Christ. Please save me now. And they receive Christ as their Savior. You falling apart, brother? Amen? All right. There you go. We'll put you back together real quick. There's nothing like getting somebody and seeing somebody get saved. There's something special about watching somebody get saved because they walked into this church. By the way, let me just say this. There you go. That looks good, brother. You ought to wear that around the town this week, man. Just go to work every day with that. And anybody asks you why, you can just take the first bottom one, turn it over, and then share the gospel with them. I don't think you'll stand out at all. You should be fine. Amen. I stood about right here in the last 2 days. Stood about right here after Brother Dave Delaney preached on Friday evening, Saturday afternoon. And I watched young people during the invitation raise their hand and say, that's me. What you're talking about, Brother Delaney, that's me. I'm in trouble. I'm lost. If I was to die right now, I don't know what's going to happen, but I think it's something bad, and I need to figure out how to be saved. And yeah, please get somebody to talk to me. And nothing like watching a young lady after hearing the gospel, and he says, if you're lost, remember young lady sitting back about where Mrs. Dively is now, and she had a brown coat on, and she's listening intently, and at the invitation, if you don't know that you're on your way to heaven, you've never been saved, if you're lost and you want someone to talk to you, raise your hand, and her head immediately snap up and she makes solid eye contact, Brother Delaney, and put her hand up just like this, like, please don't miss me, please don't miss me, that's me. Watch that young lady step out, walk forward, watch somebody take a Bible and open it up. By the way, she came up here with a live body. She came up here with a living soul. But her spirit was dead in trespasses and sin. She knelt down here, cried out to a Savior, and you know what? A resurrection happened. Something that was dead came back to life. And you know what? When they get up, they got the glow of God on their face, and there's something different. And you know what? The world can't figure it out, and the world mocks at it and laughs at it. But let them mock and laugh. All of a sudden, there's a peace they didn't have before. All of a sudden, instead of this big empty black hole, Jesus fills it up. Maybe they've tried to fill it up with drugs and booze, and they've tried to fill it up with all kinds of stuff out in the world, but at the end of the day, it's still empty, but Jesus fills it all the way up and overflows it, amen? So that's the first resurrection. And if you haven't experienced that resurrection, you can. You know why? Because Jesus rose from the dead. His resurrection made this resurrection possible. But let me just talk to Christians for a minute, because We're not done here. Let me talk about not only regeneration. I know that's a big fancy word, but that's what salvation is. Regeneration, the resurrection of the Spirit. Let me talk to you Christians. I want you all to look up here. Instead of having your game faces on and your big smiles and trying to convince me everything's all right in your life, let me talk to you about your soul for a minute. I love to hear our people sing, it is well with my soul. But I have to admit something. There's times that I've stood at Blessed Hope Baptist Church and sung with my voice, it is well with my soul, and my soul was not well. By the way, that spirit being reborn means eternity's taken care of. We don't have to worry about eternity. But we still got to live in the ugly, nasty here and now. And sometimes that takes a toll on our soul. Now let me give you a second word. The first resurrection that we need to experience, and we only need to experience this once, is regeneration, the resurrection of the Spirit. Once you're saved, your spirit is reborn and you're whole again. But we still live in this nasty world, and we still got the old flesh to deal with. And you know what? It's a vexation of our soul sometime, and there's a lot of things that can affect the soul of a man. Say, Brother Jerry, define the soul. I'll tell you what I believe after carefully studying this. I firmly believe it, but I believe that the soul of man is the essence of who you truly are. Derek, I'm looking at you, but I'm not looking at Derek. I'm just looking at a shell that carries Derek, because this is not Derek, this body. The soul of Derek is truly that part of him that will live forever. That soul is your mind. That soul is your heart. That soul is your intellect and your emotions. And folks, listen, Christians, you know what? This old world takes a toll on our soul. Now, I want to introduce you to a second word. Here's a second word. We need regeneration, the resurrection of the spirit, but sometimes we need revival, and that's the resurrection of the soul. Now, stay with me here. I thought you said the soul never died. Well, think of the word revival or the word revive. Could I read a couple scriptures to you? There's a letter. We talked about this last Wednesday night that was written to a church by the name of Sardis. Let me read what was written to that church. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write these things, saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Did you get that? He said you have a name that you live, but you're dead. Now what's he talking about there? Is he talking to a lost group of people? No, he's talking to saved people. He said this, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Let me define to you revival. I will tell you something, folks. There's been times that there was some things that lived inside of me as a Christian that died and that God had to resurrect. I'm just telling you. I'm telling you my testimony. What is revival? Revival means to return, to recall, or revive to life from death or apparent death, as in the revival of a or the reviving of a drowned man. The word revival means to return, recall, or revive to activity from a state of languor or languish, as in the revival of a man's mental or as in the revival of a man mentally or emotionally. Revival means to return, to recall, or revive to a more active attention to religious duties and awakening to spiritual concerns. I've had a vision at times, and that vision was alive. And then that vision died, and I needed God to resurrect that vision in my life. There's been times when I've had the zeal of God and excitement in the ministry, and that has died. And by the way, you talk to anybody that's been in the ministry very long, and they'll tell you that they've gone through this process where something died that needed to be resurrected. You see, Psalms chapter 85, verse 6, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? I love Psalm 138, 7, though I walk in the midst of troubles, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. We've got our folks right here in the church, many of you, you've gone through times of trouble, and you know what? Listen, I'm telling you that this is true. It's been true in my life, and I was rereading Ron Allen's book the other day, his testimony book. He said this in his testimony book when he was over in Vietnam. He said there's certain things that died over there. That died over there. What he's talking about is soul things. And by the way, if you talk to Brother Ron, God, through the power of Jesus Christ, has resurrected those things one at a time that had died inside of him. I'm talking about real life stuff right now, Brother Jack. I'm talking about people sitting right in this room. You've gone through heartaches. You've been disappointed. You've been devastated. And there's parts of you that used to be alive, and it's not alive now. But I'm here to tell you that the same Jesus who rose from the dead, that resurrected Savior, can resurrect things back to life that used to live in you that's been damaged or has died. I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about here. Amen. Are you listening to me? You say, well, that's an exciting story. They went to a tomb and the stone was rolled away and they looked in there and there was no body and the impossible happened. And then I have the same Christian that tells me they believe that. Say, Brother Jerry, it's impossible for anybody to fix what's died inside of me. No, it's not. No, it's not. Brother Jerry, I'll never be the same. No, you never will as long as you try to do it on your own. But there's a resurrected Savior that can take what has died and bring it back to life. Isn't that exciting? Isaiah 57:15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. And you know what? Sometimes we just need an old-fashioned taste of revival. We need a reviving. There's some things, Brother Jerry, I'm not talking about needing to get saved again. I'm talking about saved people that has some things die inside of them and they just need an old a touch from the resurrected Savior, and they need Him to roll some stones away in their life and to call to life things that have used to live in their lives. You know, we talked about our youth revival, and I'm going to say more about it tonight. I've got a bunch of thank yous I need to give out and praise God, but when the end of the day comes, let's just thank the Lord, amen. Good stuff happened. I talked about, by the way, 15 young people and two services walked forward and got saved here in the last 2 days. But can I share this with you? That's not the whole story. See, regeneration isn't the only thing that happened up here at this altar. Revival happened up here at this altar. You see, God's just not looking for lost people that need to have their spirit resurrected. He's looking for saved people that need revived and need a revival in their heart and need Him to bring back to life things that used to live in your Christian life. And kids will get saved and we'll fill out a regeneration card. But a lot of times the cards are never filled out of the decisions that are made in private when a Christian comes to an altar and said, "Wilt thou not revive me again? God, I used to be burdened about souls and I used to weep over souls and man, that used to be a living thing inside of me. And God, something's died. Something's broke. Something's wrong. I need a touch of heaven again. God, I used to have a love with you and for you and a close relationship. And it seems like that's died. It's gone. I can't find it. Lord, you're the resurrected Christ. Can't you call this out like you called Lazarus from the dead? Can't you speak to what's died in my heart and bring it back to life? You better believe He can." I've seen churches get revival. Sometimes a church just needs a revival. I've seen youth groups need revival. I've seen youth groups get revival. I landed in a plane in an airport in a city and state here in the country and had a youth pastor pick me up and I was scheduled to preach a 3-day youth revival for them. And from the time he picked me up, I almost had him pull over a couple times and just asked if I could drive, but I didn't know where I was going. As soon as I got in the car and said, "Hey, brother, how's things going? Is everything ready?" I expected excitement. I expected zeal. I expected, you know what? He just broke down crying. He was crying so uncontrollably, he had me a nervous wreck. He's boo-hooing and looking at me and telling me stuff, and I'm looking at the traffic and yes, brother, amen. We're going to both go to heaven. We won't have any problems if you don't watch the road. I've never experienced anything like this in my life. For 45 minutes, that youth pastor spent the whole trip back to his church where we're going to have a youth revival, telling me of the spiritual devastation and disaster that was awaiting me. He said, "My youth group's never been in a bigger mess. You wouldn't believe the turmoil. You don't believe everything that's going on." He said, "I've got even part of the youth group that's boycotting the youth revival and won't even come to it." By the way, what a wicked thing. That's a sure sign that the devil's got in somewhere. He started telling me about this, tell me about this and this thing, and that's happening. And Brother Jerry, finally we got there in one piece, praise God. he said, I said, what do you want me to do? And he said, well, I'm going to drop you off at your motel. And I said, brother, how much time we got? I said, no, let's drive the church, brother. Let's get to the auditorium. Let's spend some time praying. And I took that brokenhearted man. By the way, let me say this. Something had died inside of him. And something had died inside of some of the members of his youth group. I'm not telling you, listen, I don't believe in losing your salvation, brother. I'm not talking about losing your salvation. I'm talking about sometimes something breaks in here. And we knelt down together and began to pray and say, oh God, you know what? There's some things broken and we need to see a revival. Listen, folks, if a man has drowned and somebody pulls him out of the water and begins to resuscitate them, they'll say, well, he revived him, and that's what Christians need. Listen, some of us are about on our last breath. You need to hear from God. Some of you right now this morning, you need to hear from God today. Brother Jerry, all the things that used to live and bubble and all of the things that used to blossom and bloom, and I feel like I'm in a spiritual desert. I know I've been there before. I've been there before. Wilt thou not revive us again? We began to pray together, and I said, let me take me to the motel. Let me get cleaned up, and brother, I'll pray, and you pray. And, well, brother Jerry, I don't even know how many. I don't care who comes. I don't care if one kid comes. It doesn't matter if only one teen shows up. Let's pray that one teen gets revival. Not only did most of his teens show up, but many other youth groups showed up. And, brother, I'm going to tell you, for the first couple nights, it was like preaching. I feel like I was, you know, we could have had igloos in there. I felt like I was in a spiritual Antarctica. I mean, I'd preach and weep, and I told my saddest stories and my funniest stories, and sometimes y'all don't even know the difference between the two, you know, and I'm not sure I do. And it's just like I was just, man, it was unbelievable. It's almost like there was this solid bulletproof glass across the front of the auditorium, and every time I threw something out, it didn't even make it to them. It just bounced off and came back to me, and they all just looked at me. Well, we just prayed and preached and prayed and prayed and preached and preached and prayed and met together and had special times. I'd get up early in the morning and go over to the auditorium before anybody was stirring and kneel down behind the pulpit, go out and sit in the pews where the kids were sitting and said, God, something's got to happen here. Something needs to be brought back to life that one time. By the way, this was a good church. This is a good man, and he had a good youth group, and I'd been there 2 years earlier, and that place was on fire. But something had died. I didn't do anything different the third night than I'd done the first two nights, but I'll tell you what, you preachers know what I'm talking about. Sometimes just God just breaks through. I didn't have any funny stories left, any sad stories left. Just got up and preached and the prayers of God's people, and all of a sudden, during the invitation where nobody moved much before, all of a sudden here come a young lady, and she came forward. She knelt down. I look back and I seen the youth pastor, and he's got tears running down his face. And then she wept for a while, went back and grabbed another young lady and started talking to her and brought her forward. They knelt down together, and here comes another one. And all of a sudden, a young man began to move here, and he went back and got a buddy. And next thing you know, folks, the windows of heaven are open. The blessings are falling tonight. There's joy, joy, joy in my heart. You know why? Because Jesus is making everything right. All of a sudden, this little group goes back and starts talking to another group of guys, and then parents, all of a sudden young people are getting up and they're going to the back and they're seeking out their moms and dads, and they're talking to their moms and dad, and parents are coming forward, and folks, listen to me, all over this country, all over this nation, all over this community. If we're not careful, it can happen right here. We just come to church, we go through the motions, we act like everything's right, but it's not all right. We act like everything's alive, but it's not alive. We act like everything's blooming, but it's not blooming. Sometimes we just need a revival. Don't ever be scared of that word, Christian. We all, from time to time, just need an old-fashioned Holy Ghost revival to happen right in our heart. Amen? Let me talk to you about the last one. We'll be done. You see, your spirit needs to be reborn. Your soul's going to need to be repaired and revive from time to time. Let's talk about these old bodies. Now, you young people, you're not going to believe anything I'm going to talk to you about and tell you right now, but you will believe me in about 40 years. You know, the resurrected Savior not only has taken care of a spirit that needs to be revived, if you'll let him, or regenerated, and a soul that needs to be revived and restored. But this old body, Brother Derek, how old are you? 27. Oh, for the days, Brother Dave. Amen. Remember when all your joints used to work, and when you stood up, you didn't go, oh, when you stood up and all of those things? And I got bad news for you, brother. I'm not here to discourage you, but you just really need to enjoy being 27 while you're 27. Amen. Healthiest young man in this room. If we hit the fast forward button and advanced you 40 or 50 years in your lifetime, you know what you're going to find out? That old body of yours is defective. That old body of yours has a sin curse. That old body of yours is going to keep breaking down. And sickness is going to come. Disease is going to come. Thank God that there's a resurrection of the body that awaits all of us that are saved. Amen. You see, I've experienced this one once, and that's all you need to experience it. I've experienced this one a bunch of times in my life, and you know what? I want to make sure that every time the Lord speaks to my heart, listen, if you're not careful, you can talk to yourself into thinking you're all right when you're really not. One of these days, I'm going to need this resurrection right here. Can I read something to you? Well, this is good. And then I want to give you one last thing to think about. Let me just read you a few verses out of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We read these verses a lot of times at the graveside. When we go to the cemetery to lay to rest a body of some old treasured saint, we'll read these words. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know why? Because He's a risen Savior. Amen. You see, it takes a resurrected Savior to resurrect a spirit. It takes a resurrected Savior to resurrect a soul. And it's going to one of these days take a resurrected Savior to resurrect this old fleshly body and take it from being mortal and turn it into being immortal, take it from corruption to incorruptibility. I mean, it takes a resurrected Savior to pull that off. My father, in the 38 plus years that he pastored, has stood by a lot of caskets and gone and sat by a lot of deathbeds, and I've already had plenty. Let me tell you something, folks. Your body's not always going to be strong. Young person, it's going to be faster than you think. It's sad watching a body that was at one time strong decay. I'm just telling you, it's sad to see a man that you have memories of him being one of the strongest people in the world and picking things up and moving, and all of a sudden he can't lift himself off his own bed. Kids, be good to your mama. Be good to your mama. Don't cause her any extra heartache. She's not getting any younger. She got enough to carry. Be good to your mama. Sad to watch that flower of youth begin to fade, and next thing you know, that mama that used to be able to have a kid on this hip and a baby in this arm and still manage to do the dishes and vacuum with her toes, you know, all of a sudden it's all she can do to just get up and get from one side of the room to the other side of the room. You know, that's a hard thing. It's a sad thing. I got good news for you. One of these days, these old corruptible bodies are going to put on incorruption. These mortal bodies will put on immortality. There's a whole row of family sitting back there. Yesterday afternoon, I drove over and sat with Bonnie and Maxine and Dennis. talked to Dallas, and he opened one eye and looked at me, and Maxine says, he knows who you are, and the angels are hovering. In a few minutes, we're going to take some balloons out there, and we're going to release some balloons. And we're going to open our hand and let go of a string, and you know what? That balloon's just going to float quietly. Just going to float quietly, just float silently upward. And one of these days, this old body's going to let go of the soul and the spirit, and it's just going to quietly loft up to heaven. You know why it's going to do that? I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is risen no matter what men may say. I see His hand of mercy. I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives! He lives! Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me, talks with me all along life's weary way. He lives. He lives salvation to impart. He asked me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Best day of my life was the day I let Him resurrect my spirit. There's been many, many days during my Christian life when I fell on my face and said, God, something's broke, something's dead. It used to be alive and I need it resurrected. And one of these days, if God tarries, this old body's going to decay and go, and thank God there's a Savior that's been through it. He's been through it. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Nobody looking around. Thank you. I need to talk to you because this is an important day. It's Easter. There's a resurrected Savior. He beat death. He beat Satan. He holds the keys to death and hell. Death doesn't scare Him. Hell doesn't scare Him. He's greater than all of those things. Because He died and was buried and rose again, He can resurrect some things in my life and your life that needs resurrected. Brother Jerry, you talked about teenagers, 15 of them in the last 2 days that said in a preaching service like we've had this morning and felt the Holy Spirit conviction of God and realized that they needed to be saved. Had never been saved. Hey, Brother Jerry, I have to tell you, if I was to die right now, I don't know for sure if I'd go to heaven. I can't look back in the timeline of my life and find a spot or a place where I truly repented of my sins, understood the gospel, and cried out with a humble heart and asked Jesus to save me. By the way, that's the only way to heaven. You can take all the communion you want to take. You can be baptized as many times as you want to be baptized. You can join every church in the county. But except a man be born again, cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Have you ever been saved? So Jerry, if I was to die right now, I can't tell you that I know for sure that I'm saved. God's speaking to my heart. By the way, I won't call your name. I won't come back and get you. I won't embarrass you in any way. But I do want to pray for you. Brother Jerry, if I was to die right now, I don't know for sure if I'd go to heaven. I don't know if I'm saved. I don't know if I'm saved. But I feel like God's dealing with my heart. Preacher, would you pray for me? You better believe I will. Let me pray for you. Would you slip your hand up real quick, just real quick up and down? God bless you. I see your hand. You can put your hand down. Someone else. Brother Jerry, if I was to die right now, I don't know what would happen, but I worry about it. I fret over it. I'm concerned about it. Anyone else? If I was to die right now, I don't know for sure if I'd go to heaven or not. Would you raise your hand? Anyone else? Anyone else? God bless you. Thank you for your honesty. In just a minute, we're going to sing an invitation song. I'm going to ask you to do something that's going to require some courage. But at the moment that we begin to sing, at the moment the piano player begins to play, I'm going to ask that you step from your pew to the nearest aisle and come on up here and let us take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. 15 teenagers raised their hand. That's me, preacher. I need to be saved. Got from their seat, walked forward, came in here lost, left saved, came in on their way to hell, left on their way to heaven. Yes, it's that easy. Jesus loves you. He wants to save you today. I want to talk to Christians for a minute. You say, Brother Jerry, and by the way, maybe I didn't specifically hit on what is going on in your life, but you say, Brother Jerry, there's some things in my life that used to live and be vibrant. There's parts of my Christian life that I feel like something's happened to. There's a deadness. There's a decay. And I just need an old-fashioned revival. I just need an old-fashioned touch from heaven. Maybe something's coming to your life that's hurt you deeply. It's beyond your control. I don't know what's going on. You say, Brother Jerry, I just need a special touch from the resurrected Savior. I'm a Christian. I'm saved. I know that I'm saved, but I need a touch from the resurrected Savior. Would you raise your hand so I can pray for you all over the auditorium, all over the auditorium? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, that you're a risen Savior. I pray, Lord, that you do a work in our lives. Thank you that one day, Lord, you'll take care of this old body too. You'll give us a glorified body. Lord, it won't break down, wear out, hurt, ache. It'll never be touched by sickness or disease. Lord, above us in heaven's a great cloud of witnesses that rejoice in the fact that they have received from you that glorified body. I pray, Lord, that you would bless, Lord, each one. We think of our sick, we think of our elderly, we think of those that are facing, Lord, trials and tribulations. Physically, we pray in a special way for them. In Jesus' name, amen.